Today we are looking at the last couple of verses in Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. Let's hear God's word at this time for a bit of context. We'll read the entire chapter, Isaiah chapter 50. Let's remember that this really is not the word of man. It is not the word of Isaiah. Let's remember that it is the word of God. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord Jehovah has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord Jehovah will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord Jehovah will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. And now our preached portion for today. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of Jehovah and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. May God bless his word to us today. Not only what we've just heard in the reading, but what we now receive in the preaching. We close out this chapter having just in the past week, well, the past couple of weeks, seen some things. We have seen how our Lord Jesus Christ, the servant whom God has sent, the deliverer, the Messiah, the anointed one, why he is able to deliver his people. The fact that they are in difficulty is not because he is powerless to protect them. No. Rather, it is because of their own sin. We also see not only is he able to deliver them when the time comes, but he is quite willing to do so too. In his three mediatorial offices, we just saw this last week. As our prophet, he speaks to us, as we saw there in verses 4 and 5. We also see in verses 6 and 7, he is the priest as well, and he has given himself for his people. He also intercedes for them. And lastly, in verses 8 and 9 last week, we saw him as the conqueror, the king whom God provided, the one with power, but the one who willingly exercises his power in the covenant of grace in order to deliver his people. Prophet, priest, king, all three of his mediatorial offices used by him willingly to come and to save, deliver, rescue His people. That is glorious. But now there is a word for His people here who are going through tough times. And let's face it, those who were believers in Isaiah's day had just gone through hard times with the rest of Israel. Israel after the flesh. Israel circumcised in body but not in heart. Had just gone through trying times with the invasion and the near overwhelming that had come from Assyria. And those who were the true Israel of God, the remnant, those circumcised in heart, had gone through just exactly the same trials. There are times when believers share in the common miseries of mankind. They go through the same difficulties as unbelievers. For unbelievers, of course, as we've pointed out many times, the difficulties in this life are small. They are tiny little portents of what is to come in judgment. For the believer, though they have the same things happen to them, the reasons for God's allowance for them are entirely different. It is to make them see the hatefulness of sin. It is to make them see that God is in control. It is to make them to see their need to be clinging to Him. And the discipline that this is brings out their godliness, brings out their holiness all the more. Have you not seen that in your own life? If you are in Jesus Christ, though it was uncomfortable at the time, have there not been difficult places, difficult situations that your Father has put you in? And out of it, you came more holy, more godly, more Christ-like. For the wicked, it just hardens them. For the wicked, it makes them just more brittle. But for you, it softens you and makes you more Christ-like. Well, the very words here in verse 10 are kind of odd, aren't they? They don't go quite in a sequence that we would expect. Who among you fears the Lord? Ah, we're talking here about the godly. Okay. Who obeys the voice of His servant? Yeah, that's good. All right. Who walks in... What? That doesn't follow. Who walks in darkness and has no light? That is not what we expect to see there. But again, that really is the experience of believers. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It doesn't just happen to them occasionally. And it isn't something that believers should expect to escape. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Thankfully, that verse doesn't stop there. It does go on to say, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And even as this speaks to believers, those who have been by God's grace trusting in and on the deliverer, upon the Savior, upon the servant, upon the prophet, priest, and king, and they have darkness, God points them to the way. Of course, believers as individuals and the church as a whole can never lose Him who is the light of the world. Oh, it's true, their grasp, your grasp and mine in hard circumstances may loosen, but He holds to us. I've used this illustration before. Just like a parent clutches onto a little child who tries to break free and run across the street. The little one tries to let go, but the parent more firmly still holds to them. And so it is with our Jesus. He holds us and keeps us, for we are His precious ones. But in God's good providence, believers have difficult times. They have affliction with their neighbors or with others. They go through physical difficulties. Why, we have been praying here for a brother with an aneurysm. We have been praying for a brother in his brain, a brother who at the same time has an implanted defibrillator that if they unhook it, which they must do temporarily to replace the batteries, his heart could stop and that would be the end. We have a sister who loves him, to whom she has been married for many and many a year, and who wonders how life could go on, I'm sure, in her dark moments when she wakes at 3 a.m. We're praying, or we have been praying, for a brother, a useful servant of Jesus Christ, who now leaves a grieving wife of 28 years, 6 children, children-in-law who've come to love him, a grandchild, well, 2 grandchildren, 1 born and 1 not. And we have another for whom we have been praying, who has been a faithful servant of Jesus Christ for many years, has had to endure widowhood himself, and married a woman now who has been already widowed. And now his strength is waning. And he was concerned for his beloved. Oh, we have hard times physically, friends. And things can be very dark. Sometimes downright scary. We sometimes have, well, along with all of these are the mental things. And isn't it so often the case that the worry and concern about it is even worse than the physical thing? You can all relate to that. All the what ifs, as I say, at 3 a.m. All the running through your head that then keeps you awake for the next 3 hours. Haven't you been there? And you're in the dark, literally. But you're in the dark spiritually as well. And you could be tempted to think, just like Isaiah says here, I've been fearing Jehovah. I've been obeying the voice of my Savior. What gives? What gives? Why is God doing this to me? In fact, you may be enduring darkness spiritually. I don't know how many of you have had to endure this, but there have been many saints over the centuries who have had to endure this, who've gone through great spiritual darkness for a time. And there have been some spiritual giants who have had this. I think of John Bunyan by times. I think of the great secession preacher Ebenezer Erskine by times. I think of, well, there are many and many. To whom the adversary comes and he whispers in their ear and maybe yours too, how can God love you? You're a disgusting hypocrite. How can God love you? And you begin to doubt. And you begin to fret, and you become all tossed like Christian walking through the valley of the shadow of death, with a devil perched on his shoulder, and he thought it was his own mind talking to him. Or you maybe get like in the house of the interpreter, the man with the muckrake, or more to the point, the man in the iron cage. Or perhaps you're like Christian himself in another earlier place, in the slough of despond, stuck there and bemired with the guilt of your own sin, and thinking somehow you've got to clean yourself up before God will find you acceptable. You begin to fear that perhaps you're a castaway. In these days and times, there can be financial difficulties too. And you begin to wonder, how can I care for myself? How can I care for my parents? How can I care for my spouse, my children? And in fact, really, several of these often go together, don't they? In a combination, and sometimes for a very long time. Look at Job. Bereft of wealth all at once. Bereft of children, all of them, all at once. Bereft of reputation. Bereft of his health. And bereft, most horribly of all, he feared, of his God. Why would God allow such a thing to happen? That's what he wondered. We have the benefit, we have the blessing of being able to know what's going on in heavenly places, but Job did not. Because it was in his own life, and you do not by times. You do not by times. Why do these things happen? Well, sometimes believers sin. Yeah, it really happens, doesn't it? Sometimes believers sin. And it's sometimes the effect of those sins or the sins of the church as a whole that bring them low, as we just saw here at the beginning of the chapter, the first couple or three verses there. And we can see that when we read or when we sing from Psalm 51. We know how David was brought low by his own folly and sin. And very often, isn't it the case that when we read it and sing it and meditate upon it, it comes to our minds and our hearts that this is exactly our own situation. And David's grief and David's heart sickness over his folly is that which brings us to tears. Is it not the case? Or there are times we just don't know why it happens. But we have the assurance in God's Word, friends, that believers are never cast away altogether. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, says Jehovah in Jesus Christ. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and I shall no wise cast them out, says the Savior. What is the solution? Where is their help? For the believer who is in dark times, well, it is right here. Let him trust in the name of Jehovah and rely upon his God. When there is no hope in his own strength, in his own wealth, in his own family, in his own finances, or in any other place, when he is driven to be relying upon his Father in heaven, his Savior who has come and delivered him and who now reigns as king, intercedes as priest, speaks to him as prophet, when he relies upon the indwelling Holy Spirit, he finds the truth of Solomon's statement in Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Trust in him then, who has sent the prophet to speak to you when all is darkness and silence around. Trust in him who has sent the priest to atone for you and who is even now interceding for you. And trust in the king to deliver you. Oh, even though you feel like it be a dark prison with the darkness that can be felt, even as the Egyptians had in that next to last plague. Even though the doors seem to be iron and the bars before you are bronze, he breaks the door. He cuts the bars. He delivers from death. Trust in him when the dark times come. The Savior is the light of the world. We read about that, for example, in John chapter 1. The light cannot be put out in the heart of the believer, even when it seems like the darkness is oppressive. The light shall come. Trust in him who doeth all things well. Trust in him who always must do right to his people. Trust in him who has a love for you in Jesus, if you be in Christ, the depth of which you can never fully plumb. Its breadth you cannot map. Its height you cannot scale. Well, that's one sort of people that God is speaking to here. Those who are the Israel after the flood, the true Israel of God, and those truly circumcised in heart. But there were many others in Judah and Jerusalem who professed to be his, but who were trusting in other things. And we sadly know many of those in the world. Those who profess belief, but they will not trust in this light. And then there are those who are perhaps more honest. They want nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. They don't want to even merely claim his name. They are in darkness and do not realize it. They are like some of the Pharisees of Jesus' day, who, when he was talking about blessed are those who are blind because they come to see, and Pharisees said, what? Are we blind? And Jesus rebuked them. They thought they could see, but they did not. And condemnation was their portion. So it is here. And so he says, look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you've kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. It's an entirely different proposition for these who think, I can take care of things myself. There's something else I can and I will trust in. I'll get light in this darkness. You just watch. Things are very different from them. There are many in this world who say, like the people in Jesus' parable in Luke 19, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so they reject him who is the light of the world. But what do they do now? Because you can't work in the darkness. We all have a horror of blindness. Now those who are blind, particularly those who have been either blind from birth, who have or who have been blind for a very long time have figured out workarounds and all that, but for us to go into darkness would be very difficult. As a matter of fact, just think of the other night when you might have, and whenever this other night might have been, you had to get up in the dark, maybe to get a drink of water, maybe to go to the bathroom, or maybe you heard some weird noise and you thought you ought to check it out, or, you know, last week there were thunderstorms and you had to get up in the middle of the night to unplug the computer and all that sort of stuff, right? Isn't it awful when someone's moved a chair in the dining room and forgot to tell you, or you forgot about it? Isn't it awful to find in your bare feet a Lego brick? Isn't it terrible to have other things happen like this, you know, or you bump into, you forgot that you left the door to the bedroom as you come back, you left it part way open and you go wham, right into the end of it? Maybe you haven't had those experiences. They are illuminating, in a manner of speaking. But you've had similar things. How can you work in the dark? So these, oh, they're so intelligent. Oh, they think themselves so wise. They seek to get a little light. What light they can from what they themselves can think up or do. And so, somehow or another, they'll get stronger. They'll think better. They'll establish their own spirituality. They'll get rich or whatever. And they'll take it on themselves. They'll shake the fist in God's face. They'll say, "I'll show you," and onward they try to go. Or they think up something which they claim will give them light and give light to others. So what's going on here? Well, it's illustrated in the picture of somebody in the dark, and maybe they have a little lighter with them like I do here. Now, I may actually have a little lighter fluid left in here, and some might be thinking, what's a pastor doing with a Zippo lighter? Well, because if somebody is listening on the internet here, I'm also a scoutmaster, and scouts are prepared. But in any case, this has some lighter fluid in it, but children, do you see some sparks? Look at this. See those little sparks? Let me tell you, in the dark, you light up those sparks like that, and it will light up the room for just a second, but it really will for a little bit. Okay? You can, in fact, children, get some flint and steel sort of set where you can make a big thing of sparks. Actually, they're fairly hot, and they can start a fire. I know someone who caused problems in his house by doing this. Thankfully, he was able to put out the little fire. But in any case, the point of it is this. It makes for a little bit of light, but just for a moment, and not very bright. You can't set the sparks and then keep going. Well, here are others here that light a fire. Okay, well, that does a little bit better. Maybe in a tiny little room, that will give a little bit of light. But what if you have to be planting out in a field? Will that help? No, you need the full light of the sunshine, of course. Well, it's like these people. They think, I can go on without Jehovah. I can go on without His servant. And they may stumble upon a bit of truth and throw off a spark. But mostly, what they claim they have is great light with their pathetic little sparks or their little smoldering, sputtering, guttering, left little pathetic portion of a candle. They say, we have new light. We have enlightenment. They attempt to walk through the valley of the shadow of death in that so-called enlightenment. The sad fact is that whenever worldlings, whether they be professed believers or a little more honest unbelievers, whatever worldlings bring forth in order to bring out light and life, and we'll put those in quotation marks, leads to oppression, and further darkness and death. Solomon was moved by the Holy Spirit to write in Proverbs 8 these words, starting in verse 32. And Solomon is writing about wisdom. Not just any wisdom, the wisdom of God. And many commentators believe it is actually a sort of personification of Jesus. And this is wisdom speaking here. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Oh, isn't that Jesus speaking in his prophetic office? Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. All who refuse Jesus, be they individuals, families, educational systems, the professed church, the civil government, arts, society, whatever, will come to lie down, not in rest, but in death. They will lie down in death. I just saw something kind of sad last night on the internet. There's a building south of City Hall, about 3 blocks in Philadelphia, South Market Street. I've passed it before when I was a student. It's now the home of this Christian, and I'll put that in quotation marks, arts ministry, and I'll put the word ministry in quotation marks. Professedly Christian, but it goes right along with all the world's what they call progressive, but it's really regressive into sin and wickedness. It goes along with the artsy, progressive community that is there in the immediate South Side. And what's horrible is that the building was originally an RP church building. New Light, but RP church building. The use of the building has been perverted. It looks good on the outside, perhaps, but inside is darkness, and they've tried to kindle sparks and make their own little bit of light, and they portray themselves, and I'm sure sincerely, they think themselves to be enlightened people. You folks are the blinded ones. That's what they would say. But they, along with the people that they encourage, are heading on to death. Because they refuse the Jesus of Scripture. They refuse the Scriptures of Jesus. Now then, I'd be really, really remiss if I didn't ask you a question. What light are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the light of your own strength? Your own wisdom, your own efforts to get you through the darkness? Or do you see that there is no hope in anything, anyone but Jesus? And have you cried out to Him, God's servant, to save you? What will you do? Will you seek the light of the world or depend on a pathetic little spark? If you are trusting in Jesus, and life is dark at the moment, and, you know, we're being realistic about it, it is dark. Trust in Him that He is doing right and that He will bring you forth victoriously and beautifully, shining yourself. Or are you seeking with your own wisdom to defy Him? If you are not yet trusting upon Him who is the light of the world, don't be a fool. This will not end well. Forsake what you think is such a great idea. Forsake your pathetic little sparks and your risible little sputtering fire. And cry out to the prophet to speak to you. Cry out to the priest to cover your sin and pray for you. Cry out to the king to reign over you and to bring you into line and into life. And that is where you will find life. And that is where it may be soon. It may be a little while. But surely, 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 that is where you will find your life. That is where you shall find your light. Amen. Let's turn now to Psalm 23, which covers some of what we were talking about today. We're going to use version C here. And may it be that for all of us, and for all who hear this, faraway places and in times to come, that indeed Jehovah will be their shepherd, that they will know Jesus, the Good Shepherd.